How in the world am I supposed to preach after that? How in the world am I going to live up to something like that? Please be seated. Well, I want to say that it is indeed a privilege to stand before you this morning. And all I can say is, wow, thank you, God, and thank you, Pastor, for entrusting me with the congregation this morning. Glory to God. It is most indeed a marvelous privilege. So, without further ado, do you have your Bibles with you? Okay. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. If you're here today and you don't have a Bible, your own personal Bible, please see one of the folks down here on the prayer team, and we will get you a Bible. Every believer should have their own personal Bible. You should write in it, highlight it, make it personal, make it yours. Okay? Glory to God. Again, I want to welcome you just as our pastor did there. And again, to Goldsboro First Assembly. And it's very important that you fill out that visitor card there in the pews in front of you. Because on that card, not only do we like to have your information and we want to know which visit this was for you, whether it's your first or your third, but it's for everyone to fill out. If you have a prayer request, you can write it on that card and we will personally pray for you specifically, okay, and the need in which you convey to us. So we encourage you to do that. Have you found Philippians chapter 3 yet? Glory to God. If you would like a recording of this service, copies will be provided right outside these doors and to the left. Take about a five-minute wait, and you'll have a CD in your hands free of charge. Glory to God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for another opportunity that we can come together in this place to hear your truth and to draw closer to you. Work your perfect work. Minister to the needs of all who are gathered here, Father, so that we will know, come to know the God, the wonderful God that you really are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This morning, we are continuing the sermon series that our pastor began last week. Every life matters. Glory to God. Every human life is valuable to God. Okay. Say with me, every life matters. Yeah, say it like you mean it. All right, all right. Now look at somebody and tell them, your life matters. Glory to God. Glory to God. Both hummingbirds and vultures fly over the desert. Vultures see rotting meat because that's what they look for. That's what they thrive on in their diet. But hummingbirds ignore the smelly meat of rotting flesh. Hummingbirds look for the colorful, beautiful flowers that are blossoming in the desert. You see, they feed on what is, unlike the vultures that feed on what was. Okay? Vultures feed on what was and what's already passed away. But the hummingbirds, they look for freshness, they look for life. And that point is that each bird finds what they're looking for. And so do we as well, don't we? Okay. The goals of this series are twofold. We want you to know how valuable you are to God and to the body of Christ. And we want you to live a life free from man-made limitations. Okay. What are man-made limitations? You've heard these before. You're not smart enough. You're not the right color. You're not the right gender. You're too old. You're not old enough. People may say that you can't do it, but God never said that. The Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Okay. So who you are, where you're from, what you look like, or how much money you have in the bank, none of that matters. Our God is not limited by these things on this earth, and he can do anything with anybody when we put our trust in him. Do you believe that today? Glory to God. If you're taking notes this morning, the title of this message is, Your Past Doesn't Matter. Your past doesn't matter. Too often people are held hostage by their past. The guilt of the past keeps us from doing anything for our God. They sometimes feel disqualified, okay, because of a mistake that they made in the past. Don't let your past hold you hostage. Break free. And we can break free in Christ. You know, the Bible gives us many examples of people who broke free from their past to do great and mighty things for our God. I'm going to give you two of them this morning. Let's look at David. David, I tell you, King David, did he mess up or what? Not once, not twice, again and again and again. He coveted. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. And he got caught up in arrogant pride on more than one occasion. But in every single case, with a broken and contrite heart, he repented, didn't he? And we know David today, he has gone down in history as being the man after God's own heart. Glory to God. He didn't let his past hold him hostage. Glory to God. Now let's move to the New Testament. Let's talk about Paul. Okay. How about Paul? His resume says that he was the Pharisee of Pharisees, that he was perfect in keeping the law of Moses, blameless. But he was also a persecutor of Christ's church. He took away the freedom of the believers, locked them up in chains and stocks, threw them in jail. And some of them he even watched, like Stephen, while he was being stoned to death. But Paul met somebody on the road to Damascus, didn't he? And he knew exactly who he was talking to. He said, Lord, who are you? And his life was never the same. For Jesus sent Ananias to pray for him and to lay hands on him. And Paul, he said, Paul needs to know that he must suffer many things for my name's sake. And because Paul did not allow himself to be held hostage by his past, this man penned more than half of the New Testament, and his trials and pains and tribulations are a testimony for us today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What about my past? Oh, goodness, I got my daughter back there. My daughter and my son-in-law, my new son-in-law is visiting with me today, Ambrose and Derek. Yeah, that's my first son-in-law. Hallelujah. I got one more to go. But what about my past? When I was young, dumb, and full of it, I was one of the biggest pot smokers in the army. I stayed high. I went to work high. I went to lunch high. And when I left work at the end of the day, I was still getting high. I drank much beer, much wine, smoked much tobacco, and there's a few other things I did way back then that I'm not proud of, and I ain't going to tell you about it today. But God knows. But more accurately, God doesn't know. And I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. Okay? We must not allow ourselves to be held hostage by our past. God has plans for all of us, wonderful plans for all of us. And like in my case, I did things to delay those plans. But now, at 50-plus years old, God said that he's called, hey, Chris, I'm calling you to preach my word. Okay, all right? So the plans are coming to fruition now. Somebody, look at somebody and say, it's not too late. As long as there's life, it's not too late. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what about you? What about your past? We have some former alcoholics in here. We got some former drug addicts in here. We have some former prostitutes in here. We have some people who even partook in the abortion of babies. Okay? But when you lay those things at the cross, they're not remembered anymore. Glory to God. Because, turn with me if you will, the verse references will be displayed on the screen up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Now, in verse 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul pens a number of sins. He says that these sins, people who commit these things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in verse 11, he says this: such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. There is nothing stronger than the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of us have things in our past that we're not proud of, but I want you to say this after me. God never consults your past to determine your future. Glory to God. God, serving God actively and effectively and living in this Christian life is not like a job interview. God does not ask us for our resume of our past performance to determine to see if we qualify for any future opportunity. Glory to God. After we confess our sins, we receive Jesus as our personal Savior, and then God only looks at our present and our future from that point on. Glory to God. In 1 John 1, 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. And then he says in Jeremiah 29, 11, somebody ought to be shouting here, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Is our God good or what? Glory to God. Now, to explain this further, I'm going to give you four steps for breaking free from your past. Look at somebody and say that your past doesn't matter. Glory to God. Step one is recognize your guilt. Recognize your guilt. Picture this. There's a woman who's locked up in prison because she's committed an act of murder. She's serving time. But she met Jesus while in prison. Aren't you glad that there are witnesses for Christ even in prison? Glory to God. So she was witnessed to, and she received Jesus as her personal Savior and Lord. And she was allowed to go out, to get out on parole. And then when she got out, she found a church, and she started going regularly. But in her young walk in Christ, she confessed from the time she received Christ to present day, she confessed to the Lord that asking his forgiveness for the murder that she committed. Is that scriptural to do that? Is that biblical? You know, sometimes you have to ask God, is that in the word, Lord, that I got to confess my sin that I committed way back when again to you every day? Well, somebody got the answer there. You're right. No, that is not biblical. God does not want us to be imprisoned by our past sins. Everyone has a past. But you got to let it go. Can you say with me, let it go? Okay. Step one was recognize your guilt. Step two, let's get down to the real deal here. Receiving God's mercy. His forgiveness. The epitome of God's mercy is forgiveness. That's the epitome of his mercy. He meets us right where we are. One of the greatest quotes that you'll ever read about forgiveness is this. To forgive someone is to set a prisoner free, only to later discover that the prisoner was you. Glory to God. To forgive someone is to set the prisoner free, only to discover later that you were the prisoner. It's not often that we quote from the so-called minor prophets. Okay? But we're going to spend a little time with them today. Glory to God. Turn in your Bibles to Zechariah. I'm going to give you a minute to find that because we don't often look through the minor prophets, do we? Zechariah chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to use this passage of scripture of illustration. We're going to be reading chapter 3, I think it's verses 1 through 5. Okay. And in those verses, the high priest of the temple at that time goes by the name of Joshua. And Joshua is standing, and he's standing before the angel of the Lord, and he has Satan at his right side. And here, the high priest of the temple is dressed in tattered and dirty clothes. Well, if you can recall from the law of Moses, when he was preparing and ordaining the priests of the temple, they had to be clean. They had to be bathed. They had to be anointed. They had to have on fresh, clean aprons and ephods and new headdress. But here the high priest of the temple was standing there before the angel of the Lord, which was an example of Jesus at that time, in dirty, tattered clothes. He was in the Holy of Holies with dirty, tattered clothes. And Satan was standing there accusing him, pointing out all of his faults. The tattered, dirty clothes represented his sins and his transgressions. Then the angel of the Lord spoke out and said, "Take away those dirty clothes. Get them off him. Bathe him up, anoint him from head to toe, give him a fresh, new clothes to put on, and put a clean turban on his head." And then Satan had to leave because he had nothing more to accuse him of. Glory to God. Glory to God. There are other quotes that we've come to know from the so-called minor prophets. I call them so-called because there's some powerful words in amongst those prophets. Okay, we don't talk about them often, but there's some powerful words coming. Some of the more familiar verses, how about what the prophet Joel spoke in the book of Joel? We know what he spoke because on the day of Pentecost, when Pentecost fell down, the Holy Spirit came, the people thought, when the people started speaking in tongues, the people in the upper room started speaking in tongues, the people thought that the people were drunk. And Peter stepped up and said, "Oh, no, we're not drunk as you suppose. This is that which the prophet Joel spoke about." He said, "I will pour out my spirit in these days." And people, what he said here, he said, people will be speaking in other tongues. Okay. "It will come to pass, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." That's a familiar passage, and we get that from a so-called minor prophet. Glory to God. How about Habakkuk? Habakkuk or Habakkuk? How you say that? Okay, everybody different. That's all right. Okay. Habakkuk 2:2 says, "To write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it." That's a pretty familiar passage we've come to know, right, from a minor prophet. But now I want you to turn to Micah chapter 7. I'll give you a second or two to find that. How many of you ever heard the saying that God throws our sins and transgressions into the sea of forgetfulness? Have you ever heard that before? Well, I used to hear that, you know, quite frequently early in my walk, and I asked God one day, you know, you can ask God things. I said, "God, is that in the Bible, the sea of forgetfulness?" And he led me to this passage of scripture here. He says that Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. It says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. Now, see, he keeps flipping back and forth to the third person and the second person here. And then lastly, he's speaking to God, the second person. He says that you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Glory to God. Casting our sins into the depths of the sea leaves us with this thought that our sins and iniquities will be out of sight to God. Our sins and iniquity won't be thought of anymore. Our sins and iniquities, when we confess them, will be remembered no more. I think that's a good thing. Glory to God. I'm so glad that God is not up there throwing past stuff in my face. Glory to God. How about you? You glad about that? Glory to God. And we read further in Isaiah chapter 43:25. He says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. And again in Psalms 103:12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Check this out. You are standing on, picture this, you're standing on the equator of the planet, and you you're facing west, okay? And then you start walking. No, you start flying, it's too much water. You start flying in a due westerly direction. Will you ever catch up with the east? Think about it now. Will you ever catch up with the east by flying due west in a circle? I don't think so. Because you're flying west. You got to turn around and you start flying east. Will you ever catch up with the west? No. That's how far God has removed our transgressions from us. Glory to God. Oh, I'll let that sink in for a minute. Some of y'all are still wondering. I can see the smoke rising back there. You're thinking about your physics class and everything, right? Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them your past doesn't matter. Okay, we finna get down to some warfare right now. Step number one was recognize your gifts. Step two was receive God's mercy, forgiveness. Step three, face your accusers. Facing your accusers. There are three of them we're going to talk about this morning. The first one is the devil. Revelation chapter 12 tells us that he is the accuser of the brethren. But I got a question for you. What do you do when the devil tries to remind you about your past? Oh, yeah, okay. That's what I'm talking about. Remind that thing of his future. Glory to God. Because what? Our past don't matter no more. Glory to God. In John chapter 8, Jesus asked the woman who that was caught in adultery, where are your accusers now? Glory to God. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm going to show y'all something. This is something that folks don't talk about very much concerning the fall of Lucifer. This is one point that we don't hear very much about, okay? And this is where I want to take a moment to give you a nugget. If you're a believer of God, you're a child of God, and you're in this sanctuary, and you don't have your Bible and a notebook, what can I say? You're a little bit behind the times because everybody don't know anything. Everybody doesn't know everything, okay? I appreciate my pastor that on Wednesday nights when he allows me, see, I'm in training, okay? He's training me, you know, to be a pastor, okay? God has given him to me. He's a gift to me. And he's sitting there taking notes, not just critiquing me, but later when we have our time together, he says, Chris, you made some very good points. This is what I like. Boom, 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 boom. I didn't think about this. See, we don't know everything. And a few years back, I was listening to a teaching tape. Okay, have you found Ezekiel 28 yet? Okay. Yeah, Ezekiel 28. and I was listening to a teaching tape, and this was not even the main point of the teaching. The pastor at the time was concluding his message, and he just threw this out there. Ezekiel 28, verse 18. It says this. Ezekiel 28 is about the fall of Lucifer. It tells how he was in glory and what happened to him when iniquity was found in him. And he says this. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst to devour you and to turn you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. Folks, did you know that from the fall, God put a fire in the middle of Satan that's been consuming him since he was kicked out of heaven? Did you know that? I was amazed that in that teaching tape, that pastor just a passing nugget. And I said, Lord, is that in the scripture? See, when you ask God if it's in the Bible, he'll tell you. And there's a fire that's been consuming him. Go to Isaiah 14. There's a fire that's been consuming him since the fall. In Isaiah 14, we're going to look at why that is significant. Have you found it? Isaiah 14, verse 16 and 17 says, those who see you will gaze at you narrowly and consider you, saying, is this the thing that made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Who did not open the house of his prisoners? You see, this is the light of Jesus as judge shining on Satan, taking away all of his smoking mirrors and his facade. On Judgment Day, standing before Jesus, we're going to see Satan as he really is. After all of this time since the fall, we're going to see him for the little weasel, shriveled up thing that he is. Do you see that? We're going to look narrowly at him. Is that the thing that shook the nations? That thing? That's going to be hard on a boy that got kicked out of heaven because of his pride. Glory to God. See, we're in the last days, and you read Matthew chapter 24, it's like reading a newspaper today. Okay? The signs of the times are occurring right before our eyes. We are indeed a blessed generation because we see the unfolding of God's word right in front of us. Okay? Satan knows that his time is short. Things are going to get worse. That's why he's causing such a fuss. But he's not near as powerful as he was. He's still a powerful being, but he's not near as powerful as he was at the fall. You notice in the Bible, it said that Michael was contending with Satan about the body of Moses. He didn't rile any accusations towards Satan at that time because Satan was pretty strong. Okay, so he said, "The Lord rebuke you." So you see, we see the proper noun angels dealing with Satan. And then later, as you advance and read through the Bible, you see an angel of the Lord. But you notice at the bottom of this pit, when we read in Revelations, it just says an angel. Have you noticed that? It just says an angel with the chain and the keys to the bottomless pit. Snatch that sucker up by the nap of his neck. Get in there and slam the door behind him. An angel. This was probably one that was in the break room in the back. Hey, man, Jesus said, hey, man, I need somebody to come take care of something. Here, take this chain. But Jesus, you sure you want me? Yeah, man, you can do it. Take this chain, this key, go throw the devil in the bottomless pit. Thank you, my sister. Got to wake some folks up in here today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 14. Okay, we read that, didn't we? Hallelujah. This is where Satan was brought to judgment, and the light is shined on him, and we see him for what he really is. Satan uses people to annoy us, but God calls for people to partner with him, okay, in order to accomplish things on the earth. Okay. Somebody say, but Jesus. Okay? I'm going to tell you how to deal with this accuser, this Satan here. Okay? It says here in Mark 16, 17, it says the signs, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. We have authority over Satan, folks. Glory to God. And in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Not he might flee, or maybe he'll flee. It says he will flee. And how do we resist him? Glory to God. We don't have to roll over and be a punching bag for the devil. We have authority over him. So I encourage you, saints, to use it. Use your faith. Use the word of God. Use the name of Jesus. Use your prayers. Put on the whole armor of God every day. Use your weapons to defeat the devil, to subdue the flesh, and defeat the ways of this world. Each of us have that authority. Someone shout, victory is mine. Glory to God. Now, what about your friends? Your friends can be accusers too, right? What about your friends? They were, oh, that's the wrong place, right? Okay. What is a good friend? You know, the FBI is the law enforcement organization that investigates counterfeiting. And they don't study counterfeited bills. They study the real thing, and they become experts at it. They are the experts at identifying legal currency. Our currency, America has finally caught up with the rest of the world as far as how we print our money. The rest of the world, I can remember many years ago, we, you know, going to different countries, Germany and Korea and Mexico, and we used to say that their money looked like Monopoly money because it was all different colors, and so forth, and our money was just green, the greenback, okay? But actually, we were behind the times. But now we have renovated our money now. It is multicolored. It has a silver stripe in it. The center portrait of the president is offset. We have holograms and watermarks on it that makes it more difficult to counterfeit. So it's important for us to know what is a good friend. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27, 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know, a friend, I'm talking about a friend, okay? A friend is one you can trust. A friend that has your best interest at heart. A friend knows you well enough to know when you need comforting and when you need tough love. And even though y'all might fight and argue today before the day is up, you can still be friends. Okay? Glory to God. Everybody's not your friend. Okay? Oh yeah, I got 10,000 friends on Facebook. No, you don't. No, you don't. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Reading in verse 9 through 12, it says, two is better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You can get more work done. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, to lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warmed alone? If the one may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand him, so you got some help to fight. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Glory to God. If you have friends who are always pointing out your mistakes from the past, maybe it's time for some new friends. Glory to God. Accuser number three, husbands and wives. Oh, this is kind of tough here. If your spouse is always bringing up your past, you really need to share your heart with one another. You need to be compassionate toward one another. You need to be listening to one another because you're one flesh, right? One flesh. Okay. In relationships, whether marriage or friendships, when we say, I forgive you, what we're saying is that I am not going to hurt you back for hurting me. I give up my desire to do that. It's not a right, because God says vengeance is his. Okay? When someone injures us or offends us or hurts us, we need to forgive them and not act out of hatred back toward them. Okay? That's what forgiveness means. Okay? And it also means that I'm not going to bring it up anymore. I'm not going to bring it up anymore. What did we just read? The seal of forgetfulness. The seal of forgetfulness. I forgive you. It's water under the bridge. How about that? That molecule of water, we're standing on the bridge. We're standing on the bridge, and the water is flowing. The molecule of water at the time I forgave you is way down there, probably part of the ocean now. It's gone. Why am I going to bring it up again? It's gone. Somebody say, let it go. Okay. But where a husband and wife is concerned, there's some things you need to consider. We need to be exercise wisdom and be properly aligned. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Alignment means recognizing that it's God, Jesus, then me. Okay? In our personal walk with Christ, it is spirit, soul, body. Okay? And in the marriage, husband, wife, children. Take a moment and look around the room at the people that are sitting here. Look around. Turn your head. Yes, look around. Turn around. Okay. Now, I have a question for you. Do you see anyone here with two heads? Do you? Now, we have seen pictures. Some of you may have actually seen Freaks of Nature. You've seen two-headed snakes. I've seen a picture of a two-headed turtle. I've seen pictures of a two-headed calf or a two-headed sheep and a two-headed pig. That's right. But these species, when they're born like that, usually they don't live very long. And what about Siamese twins that are born? I saw a show on TV where it showed a child was born with two heads. Something happened in the womb there. And the one of the heads, the healthy head was fully formed and developing well, but the other head, I can't remember, came out of his side and to the back a little bit. The brain was not formed. It was just like a, lack of a better term, a dummy head. Okay. What am I saying here? I'm saying that in the body of Christ, we have one head, right? I'm talking about husbands and wives. We have one head. He's Christ, and he controls the whole body, right? All of his parts. The human body has one brain. The most complicated computer on the planet is our brain, and it controls our body. In the family, there's one head, and he's the husband. Ephesians chapter 5, 23 says what? For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. See, the husband and wife must resolve to partner with God. We got to do it his way, folks. And that takes care of a whole lot of issues right there. Let's do it his way. Let's be properly aligned. Deuteronomy chapter 28 says, when we are in obedience to God, that blessings overtake us. You got a believing wife and a believing husband, and things are rocky in the marriage. They're praying to God, saying, God, heal my marriage. I know you'll heal my marriage. You want my marriage healed. You hate divorce. Heal my marriage, God. That's the husband. God says to the husband, why don't you love her as I love the church and gave my life for her? Then I'll heal your marriage. If the wife was praying that prayer, he'll say this to her. He said, why don't you submit to him as is my will for you so that you'll be blessed? Submission is not meant to be subservient. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that God wants you to be wives, wants you to be a second-class citizen. It had nothing to do with that. God has treated women with tender loving kindness and honor from the building of Eve. It is a lie from the devil that has caused men to be hard-hearted for their own selfish reasons that has abused women over the years. Jesus told that to the Pharisees. They tell me, well, didn't Moses give us a certificate of divorce? Weren't we able to divorce our wives? Jesus said, Moses allowed you to do that because your hearts were hardened, because you were selfish. You weren't satisfied with one woman, you wanted 50. Okay. What about Proverbs 31? What about Mary Magdalene at the tomb? The first one to see the empty tomb. The first one to preach the good news. If you have a husband, if you have a spouse that's continuing to bring up your past, okay, about something, y'all need to work that out. You need to be prayerful about it. Seek the Lord together because you are one flesh. Seek the Lord together. Pray together. Pray for one another in one another's ears. Pray for your husband in your wife's ears. Pray for your wife. Lay hands on your wife. Lay hands on your husband. Get some oil. You need some oil? We got some oil right over here. Work it out. Work it out. You're one flesh. Seek the Lord together. Hallelujah. Steps to breaking free from the past. Step one, overcome guilt. Two, receive God's mercy. Three, face your accusers. Number four, let's move forward. I got a couple of verses here, and I'm about done. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation in Christ. Glory to God. He's not accusing us. That's the devil. Jesus and God are not bringing up your past. That's the devil. Put him in his place. Glory to God. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Somebody say, believe God. Trust in him. Somebody say, let it go. Somebody say, let go of the past. Somebody say, your past don't matter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Got a last verse for you here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Let's read that again. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind me. Do you see that? And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Pressing toward the goal. For the prize of the upward call in God, of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Now, my question to you is this. Are you going to continue to be a vulture, or are you going to become a hummingbird? I got my brother Wayne. Where you at, Wayne? Come on up here, Wayne. We got a little illustration for you here. You got that envelope? Okay, keep it right there. Okay. A lot of us have been crumpled. We've been stepped on. We've been lied on. We've been cheated. We've been talked about, mistreated. We've been abused and we've been scorned. Say this with me. But God. But God. But God. Although we've been victims of all these things, we still have value. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I have a question. I have a request for you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal saving Lord, I implore you not to let another day go by without making a decision for Jesus. It is said that 150,000 people die on the planet every day. 150,000 people. Let's say, for example, that all that 150,000 people reside in the United States. Just for the sake of illustration here. Let's say that it's a Sunday night, and all that 150,000 people, they're getting ready for Monday morning. They're getting ready to start off their work week. They're getting the kids ready. They're ironing the clothes and laying out their outfits for the next day. Mom and dad are getting ready, putting lunches together. And before they lay their heads down, they set their alarm clocks. Because this 150,000 people have every expectation that they're going to wake up the next morning. Alarm clocks go off the next morning and 150,000 people don't hear it. You see, on Sunday, they heard the word. On Sunday, they were told that they were valuable. On Sunday, they were told that their past don't matter. Some of them said, well, I'm young. I got plenty of time. I'll accept Jesus when I get older. How many of y'all know babies die? Toddlers die. Preteens die. Teenagers die. 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 40-somethings, 50-somethings die. That's 150,000 souls that had a chance to make a decision today for Christ, but they decided to wait. They thought that they would have a second chance. I've heard this said before. Oh, God knows my heart. He know I'm good. When I get there, He'll give me another chance. Folks, this is the second chance today. You see, Adam was the first chance. He messed it up. This is our second chance. Because when death arrives, when the end of your days come, whatever the condition of your heart is, judgment is set. That's it. This is your second chance. Elevator up or elevator down. Jesus died on the cross to save us all from our sins. He paid a debt that there was no way you and I could pay. Glory to God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. We can't clean ourselves up. He wants us to come to Him as we are. And He'll meet us right where we are. Is there anyone here today that needs to know the Savior, that needs to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today? Lift up your hands. Glory to God. God bless you. Is there anyone here today that's looking to rededicate themselves to the Lord, we will pray with you. And in the name of Jesus, agree by faith that you are redeemed and you're back in the good graces of the Father. God bless you. Let us pray. Let's all of us pray this together. Dear Father God, I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I know that Jesus came to the earth. He died on the cross for my sins. He paid the debt that I could in no way pay. So, Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I receive Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. Glory to God, my name is written in the book of life. And Father, I'm believing you now that my eternity is secured in you, that you will care and provide for me in the presence of my enemies. And I'm believing you now, not only for my salvation, but for the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God.